Rasheen, Lyra, and Elizabeth. And I'm Paulina. And sadly, this is our last show of the year, but we're also coming back in the first week of January. So that'll be good. But tonight's theme is journaling. So we're going to discuss our love for journaling. And, you know, I hope your exam season's going well. I find that journaling can be a great way to deal with all the stress. So that's what we're going to be doing today. And we're going to do a little bit of journal entry sharing. And then we're going to have a roundtable discussion and plenty of music. So we're going to start it off with Ride On Mower by Soft Opening.
Tired of the gender binary, gender policing, or just want to speak your truth?
Join CITR's Gender Empowerment Collective.
This group of radio makers is all about centering the voices, issues, concerns, and experiences of women identified, transgender, intersex, two-spirit, genderqueer, gender non-conforming, non-binary, and gender fluid folks and allies.
Anyone can join, no experience necessary.
Like the Gender Empowerment Collective on Facebook or email volunteer@citr.ca.
Our show, Babe Waves, airs Thursdays from 5 to 6 and features music, interviews, events, news, commentary, basically anything we care to talk about.
So, thank you.
See you then.
TransCare BC works to enhance the coordination of trans health services across the province and offer expanded health services to support transgender communities.
They are doing this by developing gender-affirming, client-centered models of service.
Ensuring access to gender-affirming and supportive healthcare that is equitable and available.
And supporting network development to make sure trans and gender diverse individuals, their families, and healthcare providers have access to information, resources, and support.
Check out phsa.ca to learn more about this program and lend your voice to help create an inclusive and supportive system for the trans members of our community.
So that was Ride On Mower by Soft Opening, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. So we're just going to get started, I guess, with the sharing of the journal entries. Just to let everybody know, it is a very safe space. There is no judgment going on. And I know sometimes stuff like this can be pretty daunting, but do not worry. We are in safe company. So, Christine, would you like to go first?
Yeah, I'd love to. So, This is, I'll read it first and then I'll talk about it. I started journaling about this summer. So these are five blessings because I hate myself right now from today. Number one, I played guitar, which was great, swept away by the music, lost track of time. Two, got ahead of my schedule with coding. Three, borrowed cool shirt from Ivana. My outfit looked cool. Four, Kate got that artist residency, made me happy. Five, sister wants to go camping, would be really fun. And then I have an unnumbered sixth thing for the day, and that smoothie was good. So, yeah, the five blessings are something that a friend, Callie Hitchcock, told me to start in my journaling practice, and I found really positive for me. It's a way to kind of center your day around the positive things that have happened to you and reframe that day sometimes. So the five blessings, I think you might have noticed, were like really small things. And I don't think that was probably like a good day for me in the scope of my life. But I don't remember right now what was troubling me otherwise. And I think that's really valuable. It helps reshape things so that you, the beauty of the day comes out a little bit more. Not to say that I haven't written pages and pages and pages about my negative emotions because they're all in there. But yeah, that's been a really helpful technique in my journaling.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing. Is anybody else wanting to? No? All right, cool. I guess I will go next and potentially last. So, okay. In bed listening to Deja Entendu and thinking about you, but I am very tired and you are bleeding me dry, using my body as your host, wrapping your vines around me in order to grow, choking me, killing me. Did you ever think about me? How every kiss you planted on this fragile body would leave lines of permanent scars, that sometimes they still sting when I touch them? Memories I've tried so hard to forget come back to me with a warning that comes too late. They reach me like the sound of thunder, a threat of what's to come. It's raining hard now. You never carried an umbrella with you, no matter how hard it rained. You haunt me like the sound of windows whistling in a storm. The windows of this body I am still reluctant to call my home. They shake uncontrollably. I am scared that they will break. And so that's what I wrote. Everyone's like snapping. Yeah, I don't know that there's much to explain about that, to be honest. That's just like how I was feeling about that day. There will be a discussion later on about journaling anyways, so I feel it'll come up. I usually write about the same things over and over again, and somehow I've not lost inspiration from these same events. So, yeah,
I love how different our journal entries were. They were so, I think they serve different purposes, and they, like, I'm glad we got a little bit of variety in our readings.
Paulina, can I ask you real quick, why did you choose to share that entry specifically?
I actually had three that I was thinking of just because I journal so much. And I didn't decide on this. It was actually, I asked two of my friends and I was like, which one should I share? And they said the last one. And so that's the one. And also, I think it's probably the most relevant right now, even though I wrote this like 3 months ago. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So we're gonna get back to some more music and then the discussion's coming up next. So this is Heaven by Babe Heaven and it's suggested by Rasheen.
Only in heaven you tell me to be free. Only in heaven you tell me to believe. You've been gone so long,
Now it's dark outside and your window's drawn. Need to find comfort inside while my sisters lie.
December 2016, January 2017 issue of Discorder magazine is out now. Now. We managed to record CITR student executive president Shay McConkie's first glimpse at the new issue.
Whoa! That's funny.
Open one up yourself to read interviews with Walgren, poet Adele Barclay, Jakin, Kim Wardle, Dad Thighs, and a guide for playing shows in America, amongst other goodies. Plus, live show reviews of The Body, Hannah Epperson, and album reviews of Monomyth, Daniel Terrence Robertson, and more. Thanks to this issue's advertisers, whom we love dearly, Live Van, Geist, Steam Whistle, The Rickshaw Theater, Timber Concerts, The Rio Theater, Mint Records, Nightwood Editions, Audiopile Records, The Astoria Vinyl Records, The Wise Hall, and Jazz Records. Grab a copy around town or read the issue online at discorder.ca. Maybe our best issue ever.
Most likely. I would say like high chance of best edition ever. Nobody told me did it on
my own. The most beautiful thing about my burrow is the stillness. I must have slept for all my passages. And it must have this been noise, very, however, is a draw of silence and breath, and is a hear only as a faint whistle. I did not hear it day and night as I was on burrowing, although it must certainly have been there. Can my ever be so much speed, audible only to the ear of the householder, seemed to me that the beast has ever even heard me. It simply cannot have heard me, for all that time I kept very quiet, that I dug the experimental trenches. The Burrow, hosted by Andy Resto. Mondays from 3 to 4 p.m. Alternative music, noise things, artist interviews, honest discussions, levity. Because music doesn't need to be fun. On CITR 101.9 FM and CITR.ca.
chimney falls and lovers play. Thought that I was young. Now I have freezing hands and bloodless veins, as numb as I've become. I'm so tired. I wish I was the moon tonight. Last night I dreamt I'd forgotten my name. 'Cause I sold my soul, but I woke just the same. I'm so lonely. I wish I was the moon tonight.
Hey, you're still listening to Babe Waves, unless you just tuned in. If you have, then welcome. So we're going to get into our discussion soon, but first, Rasheen's going to, say a quote.
So I have a little sample from an essay by Joan Didion called On Keeping a Notebook, and she writes about, as a writer, what the role of a notebook plays for her. And I think she writes about observing people and then recording it, and then when she looks back on them, often her entries are really fragmented and she doesn't really remember why she wrote that down at the time and how this is useful or it's not. But she writes, why did I write it down? In order to remember, of course, but exactly what was it that I wanted to remember? How much of it actually happened? Did any of it? Why do I keep a notebook at all? It is easy to deceive oneself on all those scores. The impulse to write things down is a peculiarly compulsive one, inexplicable to those who do not share it, useful only accidentally, only secondarily, in the way that any compulsion tries to justify itself. I suppose that it begins or does not begin in the cradle. Although I have felt compelled to write things down since I was 5 years old, I doubt that my daughter ever will, for she is a singularly blessed and accepting child, delighted with life exactly as life presents itself to her, unafraid to go to sleep and unafraid to wake up. Keepers of private notebooks are a different breed altogether.
lonely and resistant rearrangers of things, anxious malcontents, children afflicted apparently at birth with some presentiment of loss, end quote, which I thought kind of fitted well maybe with the journal entries that we heard just before. And I think I often use it as a mode of reflection. I mean, you were saying that you often write about negative feelings. I find I also go to it at a time of negativity and have to remind myself. I often think of myself reading my own journals back and thinking, God, was I really miserable all the time? So I try and force myself sometimes to write happy, positive ones. But yeah.
Thank you. It's kind of hard sometimes, I think, to write when you're actually happy about something, which is interesting. But that actually leads me to my first question, which is, what state do you tend to be in when you're journaling, and when do you find that you make your best work?
I think I journal a lot when I need to have a really intense think, and I will set aside time because I'm like, I'm dealing with some things that I just need to give their due process. So I journal when I have the time. That's really important. And also when there's something that's really heavy on my mind. So in that way, it does like skew the journal entries to be a little sad, I think.
Yeah. Similarly, I feel like I'll either intentionally approach it with like, I've got to think through this thing and like, let's process this. Or I tend to journal like almost exclusively at the end of the day, like as a in bed practice sort of thing. And I'll find that I'll start like sometimes I will start with just being like, today I did X, Y, Z and like list all the things, and then like it'll end there. But often that list will turn into like my brain will like latch onto something that I maybe didn't realize I needed to be thinking through. And then, like, take it from there. And so I'll have this moment at the end where I'm like, whoa, I just wrote, like, 3 pages on this thing I didn't know I, like, needed to think through. But, yeah, I wonder, I mean, in terms of the, like, that tending to be heavier, like, if we don't tend to journal when we're, like, in, like, a happy state, I guess is, and that's obviously not fair to say for everybody because people are going to journal in all kinds of different ways, but I wonder if there are just, like, different ways that we express or, like, that we feel the need to express happiness, so that it's not, like, necessarily as much of a journaling activity, if that makes sense. It's like we're not having to, like, think that through as much, so it tends to live there a bit less. I don't know. I think that's how it is for me, but.
Yeah, I think I vibe with that. For me, though, it's always hard to find the time, also because I tend to be really critical of, like, things that I've written in the past, and that's very much a growing process for me. I'm learning to sort of grow out of it. But I would say that I do journal, you know, it's usually extremes, I feel like either really good thing happening or really not as good, unless I'm really in that habit of going to it every day or every other day, which I think is really important. I'm going to try to do that. But like, I also find that I tend to get back to it when something big is happening in my life, like a big change, like a move or, yeah. So it really depends for me. I don't know.
I think the times when I do force myself to, well, not force, but encourage myself to journal if I'm maybe not feeling really overwhelmed or like I need to get something through it, is actually such a productive process. And I often don't really give that very much credit, because then you can actually think things through while maybe it's in the run-up to you feeling really overwhelmed, rather than reaching the point where you're like, I have to write these things out. And then you can also reflect on the things that are positive and going well. And I think, I don't know if this is maybe too much of a generalization, but I think maybe people in our generation can be very self-critical of like the way that we present ourselves, and journals are a really good private way of it. It's just good to pat yourself on the back sometimes. And I think maybe as well, if you're facing some kind of like oppression, or I don't know, you can be in a negative space, and I think sometimes it's just good to, I don't know, I think women especially can be very self-critical, I've noticed, in the way that they talk about themselves. I don't know if that's too much of a generalization to make, and maybe in a world that is very critical of them.
Yeah, I think it's really hard to not be okay sometimes and show it, and so to have a journal where you cannot be okay and nobody has to know about it is kind of nice, because a lot of people are like, oh no, like I feel terrible, but I don't want people to know that I'm feeling terrible, because then I'm just going to be that person who feels terrible all the time.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting sort of going off that idea of like, I don't know, having a private space to do that, if we're talking generationally and in terms of like social media and people having access to your emotions, or like the emotional front that you put out there as being like, this is how I feel, this is whatever, you know, I'm doing. And I think some people have the ability to sort of be like, I'm feeling horrible on social media in a way that like makes it very relatable, but a lot of the time people don't, and that's something hard to do. So it can be this like, you know, you can have absolutely no idea what is actually going on in someone's life, which I think is a positive thing. But yeah, I think it's kind of hard when most of the stuff that you are putting out there for other people, like, it's hard for it to be negative, because that's maybe not what people want to see, or, like, not how you want other people to think of you, which is maybe getting too broad, but, yeah, the privacy of it is a big thing.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. For me, though, like, as someone who tries to be an activist in the trans community and like a community organizer, Facebook and other social media are like one of my main platforms for, also as someone like who is an international student, just like keeping people updated with my life and talking about structural oppression, as well as like saying things that might not get as many likes, but are actually important ways of me expressing like some things that I grow through. So it is also a challenge for me to decide like, what do I want to keep to myself, and what do I want on social media, and what is sort of in between. So
are there any themes that you guys recognize in your journal entries?
Well, okay, kind of an easy one. And I think that I'm amused by this old theme. I was saying before the show started, I've been journaling for about 5 years. And recently I went through this process of like, I'm going to revisit all the old journals and like see what was up and read them all and have this amusing experience. And it was hilarious to me to see when I was, it would have been when I guess I was 17 through 19, the biggest theme, the most important theme, the only thing I could ever talk about was love, straight up. I would just be like, love, why do I want it? What does it mean? Who is going to give it to me? Like, it was constant. And like, if I were to make a word cloud thing of my first like 2 years of journaling, it would just be the word love. And like, which it makes me really mad to go back to, because I'm like, that's one of those things. I'm like, why was I spending so much time thinking about this? And like, particularly knowing the people that I was like focusing my like love dreams on, just like waste of time and like teenage stuff, and like it's such a distraction from everything else. So like that theme makes me angry, and has definitely changed, but it was like the theme of my early years, which is kind of like sad for me to look at, because I didn't want to think that was the case, but it was my one track mind for sure.
What do you think you journal about more now, if you could?
Now it's like all mental health related. Yeah, I noticed. And I did notice a transition in my journals from when I started like dealing with anxiety issues and talking about anxiety before I knew that's what it was. And so I think now it's a lot more like intentional, because my whole like mental health process has become a lot more intentional, and journaling is a huge part of that. That comes up more because I'm like, this is where I talk about this and this is where I deal with it. And so it's like my big emotions instead of like falling in love with boys.
Yeah, I do write about the same things over and over again. Particularly, it's usually about this one person who I can just never stop writing about, and it's been like 2 years now, and for some reason I keep on getting inspiration to just keep on writing about that. But I do tend to relate it to a lot of other things. I do write a lot about mental health as well, particularly depression, and just like how that makes me feel, because usually when I'm writing, I'm in that state. I also write about a lot to do with nature, actually. I draw a lot of comparisons to nature and trees and, I don't know, the sky, and also write about being a woman and what that means, or like my entry to womanhood and body image. Yeah, it's usually what I write about.
Yeah, I think my main theme when I do journal, and I really do want to do it more frequently, but I think even something that's sort of been a constant is sort of dreams and hopes and desires. For like where I'm going, what I'm doing, relationships. And it's really interesting to sort of look back on that, because, you know, those things, a lot of dreams that we have either don't end up working out, or we just, our desires change, right? So it's really interesting to see that. And then also definitely just like frustrations or mental health stuff, or just elements of relationships, key relationships in my life. And I think a nice thing about journaling is, you know, anytime you're making speech public, anytime you're writing something that other people will read, anytime you're in a relationship with someone and communicating with them, there has to be a give and take if it's healthy, right? You have to be conscious about how you're affecting other people. But with journaling, it's like you can say what you need to say, however you want to say it. And it's not going to harm anyone else unless, you know, you're sharing it and you can have control over that. And so even if you write something at one point and look back on it and you're like, wow, that was silly or ridiculous, or like, why did I say that? I mean, it's definitely hard, but like learning how to be patient with past versions of yourself, I think, is really important. And then specifically for trans people, I think the sort of dreams and hopes thing and desires, journaling is really important for that, and can be an important source of documentation for other people who are just coming to the community, and especially even in history. Lou Sullivan was a trans man and an activist in the 70s and 80s in the States, and his set of journals was sort of like the first public document after he died, sort of documenting someone's gender transition. You know, he went through a lot. He started a lot, some groups for what was called FTM, or female to male trans people. You know, it's sort of an outdated term, but it's what he used. And, you know, he was denied gender affirmation surgery from the Stanford gender clinic because he identified as a gay man. And back then, trans people weren't allowed to also be queer. So yeah, just thought that was an interesting sort of thing, sort of like the initiation of that in the community.
Also, I was just wondering, so Lyra was talking about how, you know, you can control who you share things with. And I was wondering, is it one of those things where you're just like, I would rather die than have anyone read these? Like what do you think? Is it something that you share with people, like, or would you really just like rather take it to your grave, or like burn it than have somebody see your journal entries?
Definitely, I would definitely rather die than someone would ever read them. I honestly can't even read them myself most of the time, because I'm just so mortified by my even everything that I've written. I mostly just write things and put it in a drawer and just never think about it, which is probably not very productive or reflective. But I mean, I was saying earlier, I remembered when I was little and I hid my diary, and I hid it so well that I forgot where I put it. And then my brother found it before I found it. And I just remember like feeling scarlet, like my whole body. I was like, this is the worst thing that could ever happen. And I still kind of feel like that several years later. So yeah.
Have you guys ever read anyone else's journal without their permission?
No. Oh. That is rude.
I have. But I would say it's for good. I did it with good cause. My sister was like going through a really bad time and she wasn't talking to me. And I was like, I just need to know like if you're okay. So I like snuck a peek in her diary. And she was okay.
Does she know that you did that?
No.
She might know now.
Probably not.
No, I have a very, I have an intense fear that one day someone's going to do that to me. So my intense fear is strong. But I think I realized recently, I don't remember what it was. I like read a book or watched a movie where someone read someone else's diary. And it occurred to me that there are like so many moments where like, I'll leave my partner like alone in my apartment, or like I'll go to take a shower or something. And I'm like, he could be reading this right now. Like he could know all of these things. And so knowing how like freaked out I am about that, I could never do it to someone else. I would feel too bad. Unless, I mean, of course, like,
no, I felt, you know, really, actually, someone. Right after I read it, I wrote in my journal and I was like, oh my God, what have you done? Like, that was such a bad like thing that you did.
Oh no.
Dora's in the house, everybody. Yeah. Just to let you know.
With a vengeance.
Wonderful. Yeah, it's, I share it a lot with people, actually, especially, I only really share it with loved ones, generally, or, like, on air, apparently, which is weird. but sometimes it's just easier to communicate for me through writing, which is why I journal. And so if anyone's ever like, hey, how are you? And I don't want to just be like, good, or like, NMU, then I'll just give them a journal entry to read. And then they can really sort of understand how I'm feeling in that time. Sometimes I'll just take a picture of it and just send it to them. And then they'll know.
I was just thinking, I feel like the modern day version of reading someone's diary is going through someone's phone. Maybe I was just thinking of you saying, you know, when you, if you leave your phone around, and I actually quite often, if I don't have my journal with me, then write notes on my phone. And often if I don't have my journal with me, it's because I'm like out, and usually it's on public transport if I'm on the way home from a night out and feeling particularly like I need to express myself. But that's kind of interesting in the form, because then they become really fragmented. And yeah, I guess because you're typing them as well, and maybe because you're in a public space when you're writing them, it's interesting how it changes. You kind of, in some ways, have to distill your thoughts, but then also you're carrying it around with you all the time. I don't know. I feel like maybe your phone is a kind of composite journal of your life, because it's your photos, it's your messages, it's, yeah, even journal entries.
I'm sure you guys have talked about this already, but I have, like, a pretty, like, this is, like, very much related to what you said, but I am really uncomfortable with my phone and, like, writing stuff down, because I think it, Lord knows, it might be that I'm uncomfortable with who I am as a person, but I'm, like, in my brain, I'm, like, no one can know, so, like, even when I'm texting or, like, taking pictures, like, I'm very much, like, censoring myself, and, like, I was trying to find a journal entry to read. None of them are, like, no one can know what's in this. It's, like, I only ever journal when I'm, like, really feeling bad. And it's just, like, so negative, the whole thing. It's just, like, I don't want people to know, like, that happened to me. But, like, whereas on my phone, like, it's censored in a way that's, like, positive. And it's, like, this is, like, me smiling and, like, looking pretty in this, like, space. And, like, yeah, like, smiley face, heart. Like, I love to do this thing when, like, I'm, like, lying on my couch, like, please don't make me leave. Like, I don't know. Like, it feels like a very, like, dichotomous form of expression.
Yeah, so journaling recently. So I know that a lot of us probably started off journaling at a young age, maybe. I had, like, an Emily the Strange journal with black pages. And it was glow-in-the-dark writing, like the ink. Whoa. And I swore that nobody could ever read it, ever. And I don't even know where I put it. It was just like, I told Matthew that I liked him, and he didn't like me back. And now I'm really sad, and I've liked him for 5 years, and blah, 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 blah. But anyways, I got off track there. A lot of the times these days, I've noticed that people do blogging instead. And I was actually talking to Britt about that recently, and she was just saying it's a lot easier because communicating's faster, and she just wants to, like, type it all out and get it all out there, while his writing's a slower process, maybe. But yeah, a lot of the times these days people are on Tumblr or like WordPress, Blogspot, all this stuff. Like do you guys use that?
It's funny. I think that's like a totally different form. I was just talking with Roisin about the article in Discorder that's Lil Wayne's diary as he was in prison and how little exploration into his own feelings there are and how little, emotional depth there was. And I think that is a product of him knowing that he was going to make a bunch of money publishing this book and sharing it with people. So I don't think that unless you are at the top of Maslow's pyramid, like you are a self-realized person, it's hard, I think, to navigate your own feelings and navigate the self that you want to present to the world at the same time. And like, those are the same person? What? You're just a superstar then, I think. Yeah.
I think it's definitely difficult. One of the nice things, though, about online platforms is that, you know, I mean, it's always difficult to make sure things are secure, but you can sort of, you know, you could type out a blog, make it public, and then a couple hours later say, no, I kind of wanted to keep that to myself. I want to edit this. I want to, like, make it more personal and make it private. And so that's kind of a cool thing that you can completely control who sees it. But I think I definitely agree that, like, there is sort of this element of presenting a persona. And also, like, on the phone thing, like, and with blogs, like, you have to be so careful about, like, backing things up and making sure they're saved. Like, I have lost a bunch of photos, like, a few years ago, which was really sad. And then, like, I did the same thing with notes, like, late night, like, I'm not going to remember this, so I'm just going to jot this down. Most of them, I, like, look back at them, I'm like, I have no idea what that meant, but it's okay. And I just changed my name on my Apple ID, and, like, somehow they didn't transfer. I'm pretty sure they're gone, like, 150 notes or something. And most of it's, like, you know, I wasn't going to remember that anyway, but it's still just, like, why? Apple, no.
See, you saying that has just given me the fear that my notes are somewhere on the cloud. Like,
yeah.
Not that anyone actually at Apple would care enough to read them, but now I have the fear.
You never know. Yeah. Surveillance is a thing.
Oh God. I mean,
the state.
But also I was just thinking, I forgot to say this, that when I was typing on my phone, I have kind of like clumsy hands and I kept pressing the enter button and I like never ever write poetry. But then when I was writing a journal entry once, like just by accident, I kept pressing the enter thing and it kind of turned into a poem and I was like, oh, maybe this could work. So completely accidentally just through like fault of technology, which I guess would never really happen with writing, which was a weird one.
Yeah, I think that's interesting to kind of like view it as poetry. I think of mine as poetry a lot just because it's almost as though I'm writing on a phone. It's so fragmented. It's just like, here are like three words and then like on to the next thing and like it's like super long sentences that like I would not consider. Yeah, I would say like prose poetry. But sometimes I like do try to like be like, oh, like now I will write a new line and like this will be like centered and like whatever, and like it just kind of like fodders my like belief that I'm like could be a writer if I like ever wanted to. But yeah, I don't know.
That makes me wonder too, what is everybody's like creative process while they're writing? And also, do you have any weird stuff? Like, I can't start a new journal entry on a page that already has a journal entry or something like that. Like, any sort of, like, how do you write? Like, what is your creative process from start to finish, if you've noticed anything?
I mean, I appreciate, like, the way that the entry that you shared, Paulina, is, like, very poetic, which is something that I don't know, the way you talk about it as a creative process, I've never really thought of my journaling as a creative process, though I, like, can see how, for, like, your type of writing specifically, you would. I think it's funny because we're talking a lot about like the different places you write in and what is a journal and what isn't a journal and like form and etc. And I have always
or not always, I mean, like, for the last at least, like, 7 or 8 years, I have had, like, my journal where I write stuff when I, like, get home, and, like, I usually collage in there, and there's a lot of, like, visual art that I do for myself in my own journals. And then I will have a notebook that I carry around with me that I will do, like, notes for, like, things I have to do in the week and, like, meetings I go to. But also that's where I'll write poetry. That's where I'll write songs. That's where I'll, like, write down, like, lines that I think of, things like that. And then my phone notes are, like, for those when I'm out very late at night and I'm like, oh, these are all the thoughts of my heart and the song that my heart is writing while I, like, am crying on the bus. And then I also have voice notes where I'll, like, record snippets of songs that I think of. So they're, like, technically what I would count as, like, journaling stuff for me is in, like, 4 different places all the time. And I can only do those specific things in those specific places. Like, if I tried to write, like, a today I did blah, blah, blah in my phone, like, couldn't work. And I can't do that in the notebook I carry around with me because I'm too afraid people will see it. Or, like, I don't want to sit. So, yeah, I don't know. It's, like, each thing has to be in its place. Otherwise, like, it can't exist.
Yeah, I, for a long time and still, found myself writing at the back of all my school books. I take all my notes in one notebook, and for a long time I was writing all my just fleeting moments and, like, poetry in the back. So that's an interesting, and it was all stuff that is, like, this is useless. I just want to, I have to get it out of my mind.
I guess when I started looking back at some of my journals and was realizing, like, this is all very samey, I started trying to just, like, give the time and the date and just, like, a brief description of, like, just what I could see or record memories, so that it just kind of grounds you, especially maybe if you're feeling really overwhelmed, just to stop, pause, think, like, what am I actually looking at right now? Like, what time of day is it? Is it nighttime? Is it 4 o'clock in the morning? Is it, like, really, like, mid-afternoon? It does, like, change the mood of it, so that, I don't know, it's just, like, a brief kind of snapshot. So I guess, yeah, it just gives you, places all those emotions in a kind of time, and I don't know, it helps me to remember them and just ground myself before I go on this long kind of sad girl rant thing.
Yeah, me too. I always put the date and the time that I start writing. It's really, as I've said, like, it's kind of hard for me because I always feel like, okay, I need to have something important or interesting to write about. Or I think, like, oh, I should start journaling again, like, every day. And I'm, like, out or, like, on the bus or something, and just not in a moment where I can sit down and do it. And then I forget about it later. So I think that's a big challenge. Also, I have this constant struggle of, like, I really don't like writing on the back of the page, because then the indents from the pen, I always use pens, and the indents from the pen, like, interfere with each other, and it makes the texture of the page, like, annoying. And yet I don't want to take up more paper than, like, I need to. So it's this constant, like,
This makes me feel like the worst journaler ever. Mine are like I'm kind of like you. Like, I'm always like, I should journal more. Like, I should just do it. But I, like, never have time until I'm, like, at, like, a point where I'm like, no, like, you have to get this out of your body now. And I try to write the time and the date. But I, like, really don't. Like, I like, started journaling. Like, I've only, like, filled up this many pages in my journal. And I started, like, a couple months before I left for university. And I'm, like, what, like, 12 or something pages in. And it, like, started as, like, a very, like, you should, like, record this period of your life. Like, it, like, the first one's, like, full of lists of, like, what I have to do and, like, what I'm scared of. Like, how can I be a better person? And then it, like, devolves. Like, I don't know, like, every journal entry I've ever done, like, it starts out, like, very structured, and then it's, like, no, like, you just need to, like, vomit all this stuff out. I thought it was, like, funny what you said about the page indent things, because I have one entry that I wrote when I was really drunk, that I wrote in red pen, and I was, like, pressing really hard on it, and then I actually was, like, going through, and I really liked it, because then on the other page, like, now it's, like, red and, like, indented on the other side, so I'm, like, oh, cool, like, that's, like, I don't know, I thought it was, like, a fun visual thing that I was, like, happy with.
ink colors. I feel like ink colors make a big difference to me. Like, if I'm feeling stalled in my journal, I will, like, grab a purple pen instead. And, like, here we go. But I couldn't have a purple pen on, like, the opposite page from, like, a pink pen thing because I would just, like, mess with my brain forever. It's the visual element, I think, is super important.
Is there anything else that any pressing stuff that people want to talk about? Dora.
Dora's face says it all.
I can actually read one.
Yes.
I, like,
yes.
It took me a while to, like, figure out, like, what I wanted to read. I was talking to Pauline about it a couple weeks ago, and I was just, like, flipping through it, and they're all so awful. Like, they're all so painful for, like, many different reasons. But there was one, the one that I found that's, like, I was pressing way too hard on in red ink. I, like, remember the night that I wrote it. It's marked December 12th, 2015, and I tried it at the time, but I wrote throughout the night, so I guess it was, like, an evening thing. But I can just read it. It's, like, a list thing. I think I really like lists. So I'll just read it. I'm drinking wine and watching Girls / Straight Outta Compton. And then there are two different columns. And Straight Outta Compton, it, like, starts out like, I love this movie. And then it goes, I do not understand the black experience. Why is this a revelation to you? So that was, like, a moment for me, I guess. And then the other column is Girls. And it says, I hate myself and my body. Clara commented on how thin I used to be. I don't think it makes sense for someone to love me. Compliments. I want to have sex, couch sex. Do I have alcoholic tendencies? ? I think I'm sad, but I'm not really sure why. I just want to be ignored right now, but I also want so much attention. Maybe it's just because I haven't taken my vitamin D. My head really hurts. And, like, that's it.
Dope.
I want to say, I feel like, and maybe, again, this is generalization, but those comments, watching Girls, I feel like that is so many people's experience. Watching Girls is, like, that stream of thoughts.
Hopefully. But I think that, like, this is, like, a weird entry for me. Like, it's usually more just, like, words and words and words. But, like, I do like seeing it in the list form, and I like seeing them separated, because all my thoughts, like, it feels good to, like, flow it and just, like, get it out and have it all next to each other. But I do like it broken up, like, one after the other. Like, no, you went from this thought to, like, this one and this one. And I can, like, kind of see, like, the pattern of it.
Is it cool if I share another one? Just because I was deciding between these two, and I feel bad for this one now. So, like, I treat them like human beings. So somebody once asked me, if your life were a fairy tale, how do you expect it would end? So this is what I wrote to it. I would grow old and melt into the ground. I would grow into a nice oak tree on a grassy green hill. The seasons continue to change, but I remain tall and grounded. My leaves turn to warm shades of orange, yellow, and red, and they fall to the ground. I've been shaken up now, and all my limbs are bare. You can see me for who I am now. I am naked. I am vulnerable. I'm pale and freezing in this cold and harsh winter. I'm shivering. I'm in bloom again, vibrant sprigs of green coming to surface. I am reminded that I'm alive, though I seem to forget it in the most bitter of winters. All kinds of people take naps, rest, and think things through underneath my branches and leaves. Suddenly, I feel like I have a purpose. To protect and shelter enemies and loved ones. They wonder when their time to blossom will come, but what they don't know is that they are already in bloom. So that's what I wrote. And yeah.
That's so much cuter than mine.
No,
why'd you let me read it?
All journal entries are beautiful and important because they get you through something.
I'm upset that Callie couldn't be here today because she was the one that really got me into journaling. She said that, and it sounds like this is maybe journaling's purpose for you. I'm not, like, putting words in your mouth, but that a lot of writers try to journal consistently because it helps you develop your voice really strongly, and that's not what I do in my journal, but I think that that's really valuable.
I guess that's all we have time for today. I seriously think we could have gone on forever, probably. That was fun. That was really fun. So, yeah, we're out of time. Thank you for listening. So we are Babe Waves, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, and we're going to tune out with Werewolf by Fiona Apple.
I could liken you to a werewolf the way you left me for dead. But I admit that I provided a full moon. And I could liken you to a shark the way you bit off my head. But then again, I was waving around a bleeding open wound. But you were such a super guy till the second you get away from me. We're like a wishing well and a bolt of electricity, but we can still support each other. All we gotta do is avoid each other. Love the wrong wind, a song ends in a minor key. Love the wrong wind, a song ends in a minor key.
My girl.